Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Today, my mum, Milo, and Kelly went out and got a Christmas tree because it is Christmas! Yay! And we've got Angela Hartner coming around.
Angela, who is one of my favourite people on the planet. She's one of my favourite chefs. She's a woman of great note. She's got this easy artistry about her, the way she goes about her food, the way she talks about her food, the way she connects it to her life and her heritage is something I really respond to. She just loves to make people feel good. She's one of the people that I work with a lot who genuinely, really true say she only cares about her food, her husband and her dog. And she likes people and she likes to make them feel happy.
And
she likes to make people feel happy with a thing. She does love a drink and she loves to laugh. So all of those things, that's a recipe for a fantastic human being. The person you'd want most to come around for Christmas lunch.
I mean, absolutely.
Do you reckon that there's a little bit of not showing off involved, but like it's got to
be good.
We've got Angela today, so yeah. Is there a little bit of that? What do you reckon?
It's got to be good. I was actually going to ask one. Do you get... Well, I know that you don't get like nervous cooking for chefs, but what about when it's someone that you know and love?
I just want it to be good. I want it to be right. I want the little love in the tummy. I want her to feel good.
Imagine if Angela was like, what is this?
She would never do that. She would lie.
Yeah.
And then go, shit, I went round Andy's, man.
Yeah,
I've never cooked for Angela before, so it's nice. Yeah, I, you know, if I love somebody, I want to feed them.
I haven't had dinner in a while from you.
What are you talking about?
It's been a while.
Bullshit. I said I cooked your trout yesterday. You rejected the offer.
Ah, yes, the full moon mind.
So what do we know about our guests today?
I know that Lee is really lovely, and so is his wife, Kate. They have a beautiful restaurant called, formerly known as Black Axe Mangal, FKA Black Axe Mangal. It's up in Islington. It's sort of like an old LA dive bar.
It's a
kind of crazy little dark restaurant.
Yeah, but then the food is so good. I actually would like to go back because we went with Angela and Grimmy and Grimmy's boyfriend,
and
Mitch, obviously, formerly of Stirring Up, and Garfield.
Actually, I've got film of Angela dancing that night somewhere.
We do.
There's a really, really fun... I've got to try and find that.
Yeah,
she's in. She's in the vibe.
Yeah, she was dancing to disco. It was quite the Tuesday evening.
We'll see how they get on after the mulled wine today, right?
I mean, you know, they're quite thirsty people, wasn't it?
Take the filthy apron.
It's not filthy.
To greet your guests.
It's not a filthy apron. They're chefs. They're not going to care if I'm... You're not going to care that I've got an apron on, are you? They're like, take your apron off. Take your apron off.
Fucking chef. We get it.
Merry Christmas and welcome to our table.
Thank you for having us.
Peter loves an official... for anything. She's always like, I'd like to say a few words. She's very, I'd like to say
rituals.
Yeah.
So I've made you this beautiful mulled wine. We also have champagne. We also have red wine. We bought two
chefs. I bought frozen cocktails as well.
Right. So cool.
Could turn into a pie.
A nice even number.
We knew who was coming.
There is a spare bedroom. We've also got some pillows and duvets.
Yeah,
we decided to just live here. That's fine. Right. So we have made all sorts of very Antiguan old school food.
I was like,
what am I going to cook these bloody people? So we went like proper. So this is stew peas, black bean stew peas. Mm. So it's you put in, and this is vinidalush,
which is slow cooked pork, and you marinate it in vinegar and all sorts of delicious things. That's just a nice little zesty salad. Yeah, he made this with salted and is it salted and other cucumbers or just salted cucumbers?
Just salted cucumbers,
pickled shallots, baby gem, and that's a little chive oil going on the top.
And then finally, Mum, the fungi.
And then this is fungi, which is what we do with polenta.
Oh, I've never heard of that.
So this is Antiguan polenta.
So it's like a cake almost.
No, it's savory, so we make a very stiff porridge.
Yeah.
And then you put a little knob of butter in a bowl and then you turn it, like you flip it, and then you get a little ball like that. Wow. Which I tried to do on Saturday Kitchen the other day and I couldn't get it to turn. I was like, every time I turn fungi, that happens. Live telly, it just wouldn't turn.
But it's a whole skill, isn't it? The turning of the fungi.
It's a flick of the wrist thing. You know, like that kind of stuff. You just have to...
And that's something you need to be doing all the time.
And when you stir the fungi, you have to be quite strong.
Yeah.
It's like when you make fungi, make sure you don't get any lumps in it and stuff. Please help yourselves. Let me tell you about this last one.
What's that one?
This is like a farofa, you know, like you get in Brazil. It's like toasted cassava.
Oh,
We've made it with crispy ham, those bags of crispy onions, which I'm obsessed with. And then soft sautéed onions and chives and parsley and toasted cassava.
Oh,
so that to go on top, a bit like you would with a feijoada, Brazilian black bean thing, to go on top of the thing.
So that goes on top of the beans?
It goes on top of the beans, it goes where you want it.
What a feast.
Toast. I love those. God,
looks what a
go, 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 go,
Kate, you work with Lee, but you run obviously your beautiful restaurant together. But you're not a chef, are you?
No, I'm not a chef.
I've never cooked a sensible person.
Cooked a service. I don't think I'd ever want to cook a service. But I worked in restaurants since I was 15.
Right,
So we met working together. So I do the other bit.
You and Lee met years ago. You're like old school friends.
Probably all three, actually.
Or all three at the same time.
Yeah. Because I live around the corner from St John Bread and Wine, where Lee started working for Fergus.
Yes.
Henderson and Trevor. And Kate worked there as well, because that's where you met, no?
Did you work there too, Kate?
Yeah, right. Fergus and Trevor for nearly 10 years.
Oh, goodness. That's a nice place to spend 10 years in.
It really was. It's hard to leave. But when you spend a decade of your life somewhere, you kind of know when you're ready to leave and you just have to make that change. Yeah.
So, Andrew, what were the first restaurants you were working in? Because I never knew, I don't know much about like your early London career.
My first one was Gordon the Aubergine. That's what I first in London.
And Gordon Ramsay.
Yeah, Gordon Ramsay. And then before that, I worked in Cambridge at Midsummer House before it was Daniel Clifford. But Andy will remember, but I don't know whether you young little kids will. Do you remember the Good Food Show with Gillian Gordon?
Oh, God, yeah.
And Chris Kelly. So Chris Kelly owned Midsummer House with three other partners, and I worked there. And then worked in pubs and brasseries around sort of Cambridge, and then moved up to London.
How old were you when you...
When I was 22, 23, cooking.
22, 23. I realised before you were coming, I was thinking, me and Angela, known each other quite a long time now, we never talk about this stuff.
Yeah.
We literally just talk shit a lot. Yeah. No, we do. We just make each other laugh. We just
go, exactly.
That's kind of what we do in the makeup room. Mostly our conversations consist of kind of nonsense chat, which I love.
Mm.
But I don't know anything...
That's quite refreshing, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, when you came on the scene, I was like, where's this woman? I think she knows about food.
What is this about?
And what was it like? Like, you know, we have had conversations about the way our industry is.
Yeah.
And wanting to change things, you know, move things forward, like... Really feeling urgent about the need to move our industry forward and open it up for all sorts of people. When you... Because you have that... Coming through restaurants background, what was it like at the beginning when you were like 22, 23?
It was sort of nuts because we were working stupid hours all the time and it was loads of blokes all the time. You know, you didn't really ever make any sort of girlfriends in restaurants because there were no other people working in the kitchens.
Really? Right.
But, you know, I'll never regret doing it. I look back now at great fondness. At the time, I mean, I remember fessing up to Gordon recently that I used to cycle to work because it was like 6 days away and hope on a Monday morning I'd come around and like see a fire engine to think, you know, and hope like the restaurant had burned down or something, you know. And he said to me, he looked at me and goes, what's the matter? I said, Gordon, it was really hard. Yeah. You know? I would have loved a few weeks off where it had to be rebuilt, you know.
A flood, you know.
I didn't want death. I just wanted something happening to the
some sort of disaster. So you could get some sleep.
Yeah. But then you sort of, then, you know, as you know, what am I, 55, 54, 55 now? You know, you realise the industry has changed. You know, and actually where these guys started, St John was one of the first that always did, what was it, a 5 straight shift rota? I mean, I don't remember
like 4 hours a week.
Yeah, you know, and they everyone's moved forward.
Too much.
Yeah.
So and before that, people were used to working insane amounts
crazy,
of hours.
Yeah.
But what does that mean? What do you mean by that? Like, it was just like, you just weren't told to ever go home, so you're just there working till 2, 3, 4 a.m.
No, you'd leave for a couple of hours and there was a choice whether you went to the pub or you didn't.
Right.
And that was based, you know, a couple of hours between split shifts. And that would be a normal thing, particularly chefs. Mm. More so than front of house.
Yeah.
Back-to-backs ones like that.
And most chefs would say, go to the pub.
I'm not being funny. That's why you're all mental. Because that is such an insane way to live, like 2 hours in the pub and just then back to
service. But I think it appeals to people who want to work in a high-octane way. They're like, they're just into it. They just want it more and more.
This is where I also need to step in. Do all chefs think they're rock stars?
I think there's a lot around there. But I'm naming no names.
Are you looking at me in that
way? You are a rock star, didn't say
you? Look, stroking the
I know.
But actually, your restaurant does feel like going to a really good gig.
Yeah, it's like a party every night.
Yeah,
not every
sometimes night. Sometimes you get a few gate crashes you don't really want in there.
Mm. But that's when the music goes up, no?
Yeah.
Most of the time.
Who's picking those playlists? They're kind of crazy. It's like kind of hardcore rock.
Sometimes I just put, if I'm really busy, I just put something radio on.
Yeah, like
we'll
be honest.
Def Leppard radio on and just left it on the whole night.
Sorry. I choked on my...
So I just
choked on some Def Leppard and we fight.
On secret in joke with the Def Leppard.
We would literally have such a fight. I'd be like, Lee, take that shit
I'm
off.
I'm reading the crowd. You weren't in... The night you came in,
yeah,
you could hardly hear the music because there's so much shrill laughter.
There's a lot of us.
Right.
Sounded like an overactive fax machine.
Are you talking about when Mum and Angela and me and Grimmy?
Yeah, we have video of that. Video. We remember today we've got video of you very perky. We're going to find it.
But the music was great. And can I just say, I don't think enough restaurants think about music. There's so many restaurants that just play that kind of background house music. Yeah. Which is just
God,
can't stand.
Like Muzak kind
exactly.
of thing,
it's like, think about all senses being heightened. Mm. And actually, when Mum's done her pop-ups, we really played some tunes. And people always go, oh, it's nice to hear some tunes.
Yeah.
Why would you not play excellent music?
But then we were at St. John. There's no music.
Yes.
10 years. Mm. No music. Yeah. And it would have felt really strange to put music on.
No, that's a good St. John choice, isn't it?
Whereas we went into ours and it was just, we have to have that. And if the music goes off, I don't know what to do.
Yeah. Originally, the music, the volume of the music was to put up a shield between me and the customers when we started off in Copenhagen.
Is that where you started?
Yeah, it was a joke. It was supposed to be a joke. We just, a little 7 week pop up.
In Copenhagen?
In my mate's nightclub. The back, he had this backyard in this nightclub called Backen. I made a proposal to them, like, do you want to just do some food? And they were like, yeah, well, let's try it out and stuff. And didn't think we'd sell anything. And then it was a massive queue, and I just had to put something on to keep me sane.
Right, to cope.
So, super loud Sepultura or Metallica.
Oh, yes, go on.
And then just went for it, ignored everybody. It was a complete...
Sepultura.
Like, century
Every time you say a band name, Hang on.
We're getting closer to my area now.
Then,
it's Pearl Jam.
It's a Pearl Jam.
Soundgarden. Action Bronson.
Oh, yeah.
But then people were like moshing, waiting for their food, and it kind of became a thing, and it became part of our identity, and now it's synonymous with it. And if we do something somewhere else, we got to have music. Yeah. Can't just have, like, not
I mean, I get that St. John having no music, but I find I need music. I need music when
Oh, you
I cook.
Like music.
Mm. I need music when I... Yeah, it's not that I don't like music. I'm just not playing. Just like your music. Yeah.
Well, you can control the playlist whenever you come. It's not a problem.
Yeah. I feel like Lee put on some pretty banging disco for us.
He did. He must have spent something in the force.
Well, Andrew, if I ever, like, she'll comment... And it's she's taken the post really seriously. It's like, play more Aretha Franklin, please.
Yes, Anne.
We've got a deal because I go, when you stop playing that music that I hate, Lee, it's all right. You have your music, but it's got to be loud. I said, I can take the loud.
Yeah, loud is fine.
Take the loud, but I want it to be what I want to hear.
I played Burt Bacharach.
You did play Burt Bacharach.
Now you're talking.
There's not many restaurants you get the older choice.
No, that's a brilliant.
Yeah. But I love the fact when you, like you say, that shield, that you just turn it up. And I get it, because it's so intimate, isn't it, Black Axe Mangal?
So you two work together and have since you've been together, Kate and Lee. Angela, Neil, your beautiful boyfriend, who was meant to be here.
Husband.
You actually are married.
Yeah, we are, yeah.
Very sorely missed today.
Yes, I know. He's working.
But would you ever work with it? Because obviously you have different restaurants.
We did work together for a while when he first came back from France. And then we opened a restaurant together, Merchant's Tavern, with two other partners. It was an unfortunate place to open, but in hindsight we shouldn't have, because he'd come out of, I think you know, he had that mad car cycling accident, and he sort of was in recovery for a year, and then we opened a restaurant, and as we all know, it's the most stressful thing can open. And in hindsight, my mum loves telling me this, Angela, that was really a bad mistake, she never have done that.
Bloody
but
terrible.
Actually she was right, you know, we should have just let him. And so it, you know, he worked there for 5 years and we worked together, and it wasn't the best time, I'd be honest,
in your relationship.
Yeah, and I think also because of you know, the accident, and then you're working with other partners, so you're not quite, I think we all like to be in control, and suddenly
I mean,
you know,
I'm pretty easy breezy. I don't know what you mean.
So do you own all your restaurants now?
Like, I own all my restaurants now, and then the French House is perfect for Neil, so that's where he works in Soho, and he's the head chef there, and it's perfect for Neil. It's a brilliant restaurant. He has the responsibility of running a great dining room, which we all love, but he doesn't need to deal with all the rest of being an owner.
Yes.
And that is, that's, I sometimes look at you and I think that's where Lee, you know, not having to deal with all the other stuff that we all have to do.
People underestimate the other stuff, don't they? Because it just looks like so much fun having a restaurant.
Yeah,
people think, oh, do that. And it's like the depths of it, the exhaustion of it, the how it affects you.
Mm.
Do you do things? Do you put things in place? I mean, I don't think you do, actually, Andrew. I'm looking at you as I say this and I think, no, because sometimes I see you and you're so stressed because you've got 14 things
going
on.
I do. No, where I am good is I can switch off. I can switch off from work because I do know it is work. I love it and it's mine and all the rest of it. But I can go home, and once I'm home, that's it. And I can be on holiday. And I say to my, like some of my managers who was texting, I said, you're on holiday. And I said, honestly, guys, if I'm somewhere else, unless the place is burnt down, deal with it.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
So now, Chris, it's Christmas. And I was like, I want to talk to chefs at Christmas because it's like, I just think I go so all in. I fucking love it. Right?
Yeah.
I'm really into it. Somebody came yesterday when I'm a Grinch. I went, I'll shut up. Do you know what I mean? It's like, it's happening. It's on. Get in the vibe or come out the yard. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Are you into it?
I am into it. I'm into it for the one day.
Right.
That's well.
Orange.
No. Listen to me. I'm into it for about 35 people on the one day, but I do it really well. One day is brilliant and full on, and then the rest is just holiday and relax.
What do you make?
We do tradition with a bit of Italian thrown in.
So Italian tradition as well. What is that?
So we do this Annolini in brodo. excuse me, which is basically a lovely filled pasta with braised veal and beef and breadcrumbs and parmesan, and we serve it in this beautiful meat broth for Christmas. God, that's the starter. That.
Please tell me you roast some spuds on Christmas Day.
Oh, yeah, of course. And we do the whole thing of everything else.
Great.
And then we do a spinach stuffing, which is basically spinach, ricotta, parmesan. So there's, and then my aunt will make zamboglioni. So, and then we'll have zamboglioni Christmas pudding. And, you know, so it's a bit of all mixed.
Do you make it yourself or do you get the people at work to
Be fair? No, I do. I'm pretty good. I like Christmas Day for that because I have my best mate Adam who always comes and we go in the kitchen because I think everyone around here knows I can sort of put that barrier up, put the music on. Me and Adam put the music on, open a bottle of bubbles and we sit and do the prep and it's lovely. Nice. I love a little moments like that. I can't do it with Neil because Neil just makes mess.
Oh no.
I love Neil.
I can't clean down your station, Neil.
Exactly. Yeah. 1 year I was cleaning down his station, my brother's and my brother-in-law. I was like, are you kidding me? This is not fun.
Clean down your station.
So now I'm like me and Adam, so he cleans as he goes and that's it. Where are you? Because kids, you've got three kids. That's a bigger deal, isn't it?
We've got a big family. This is the first time this year, first time in 16 years I haven't cooked Christmas dinner.
Who's cooking it?
My family will cook and they'll somehow muddle through without saying things like, Lee, how would you chop the carrots?
Oh, right.
Then all of a sudden Lee's doing carrots. I'm like, Lee, how would you cook the turkey? And before you know it,
he's
cooking
the turkey.
And he's
in the kitchen.
Just want to stick a fork in it this year.
Yeah,
I get it. Are you going to be able to actually relinquish control though?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. I've been trying to do that for years. I've been absolutely trying to have them.
I think I'm going to, and then I get all itchy. Yes.
The test will be on Christmas Day, but
if you arrive sort of late-ish when they've had to have done most of it,
that's the plan. Then
that's the plan.
Don't arrive 8 o'clock.
You can't be there the night before.
I was really interested in the community that you grew up in Wales.
Well, I didn't grow up there, but where my mum was.
Oh, that's where your mum was, right. And so where were you? Where was your young life?
So I grew up in
life?
Kent, and then we moved up to Essex, and then came up to London. But yeah, and that's how I got to know these guys, because like I said, I live around the corner from the restaurant where they worked. Mm. But I genuinely think that that restaurant epitomising more than anything what a local restaurant should be about.
What is that?
Well, because one, you know all the staff and the people who work there and they know you and they just don't know you. They know your extended friends and family. So even though my brother lives in New York, if he comes back, they'll know Michael's round or he's coming over. Yeah. It's somewhere, it sounds ridiculous. Trevor may call up afterwards and go, you taking the piss, Angela. If I'm not in, I'll get deliveries sent there. I mean, literally, Lee knows. I'll go, Lee, something, can you? And one of them, I walk around the corner and say, come on, mate, take it here.
Wow.
I'll leave keys there if we're out. You know, and things like when my mum wasn't well.
To your taste. If
yeah, but when my mum wasn't well and stayed with us, they would send food round.
Oh.
You know. And
that's
like,
community,
you know,
again.
And that's exactly that whole sort of thing. And actually, Lee would do. Like, if I'd come in, he knew I loved something. He'd go, oh, Angie's in tonight. Let's make her that.
Yeah.
That, to me, is what a local restaurant's
and
about.
And what restaurants are about for people to be there for. You know, you're providing more than just a dinner. Mm. Dinner's going to happen regardless of whether your restaurant's open. Someone will make some dinner will happen. Yeah. But then you give them people an opportunity to be part of something.
Yeah, of course.
And I think if you're in a wherever it is, even our friends who've got restaurants in Soho, it still becomes neighbourhoody.
Of course,
you have your locals who come and people who are part of it.
That goes back to that idea of intention, doesn't it? It's like why you're doing what you're doing. Yeah. Are you doing it for the shiny bit or are you doing it for the heart of it?
Do you know what I mean?
And that's what I love about loads that you do, Angela, is that you really, your whole heart is in everything you do. And that's what I loved about it when we came to your
place.
We're
trying to be a neighbourhood restaurant.
But you do that.
A unique restaurant on a global scale as well. I don't want anyone to come and say, oh, this is a bit like this place or a bit like that place.
Yeah. No, well, it's not like anything.
You know, one of the worst things someone could say if they come to our place is that, oh, that's all right, you know. I'd rather they just fucking hate it.
Yeah, it's
love it.
That sort of Marmite effect.
Fortunately, our Google reviews were testament to that.
I've got one star.
We hate you.
We love you.
I don't know if these people think it's going to faze me or you or us.
How do you feel about that stuff? Because, you know, remember when TripAdvisor appeared and everybody, the whole industry went, so it was like suddenly, and then people got really malicious with it.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, their coffee was like slightly cold and it'd be like, this place says shit.
Yeah. It's like, is that, what's the saying? Everyone, opinions are like arseholes.
Everyone's got one. No, absolutely. That's what the tagline of TripAdvisor should be.
Oh my God. If you're an arsehole, type something into this box
and impress them.
It starts well with giving the power to the customer. Yeah. And then I think people just get power mad.
Yeah.
Do you read them?
Not at all. Kate does. And then she tries to draw me in sometimes. And I say, I'm just not interested. I can't.
I have to do lengthy replies in my head.
Oh.
That I don't send.
Yeah.
Right. Do you actually type it? It's just all in your
Sometimes
head?
I might type it and then I think better of it. But I do have to respond, I think, because the difference between being someone who's cooking for people, although that your heart is in it, that's, you know, it's your idea. You cared. You wanted it. You didn't just make it off the cuff. You thought about it. You planned it. You maybe got it wrong the first time before you even thought about putting it on the plate. Mm. So there's an emotion involved. But then if you're front of house, if you're the direct... then you feel this need to reply because you're part of the conversation with the guest. Yeah.
And I suppose...
And whenever a guest leaves, doesn't say anything to you and then goes, nasty, nasty, nasty.
Yeah.
Where was the conversation?
Yeah.
I was your host. We were connecting.
And
not.
Chatting away. Mm.
And then they turn around and say, actually, no. And I didn't like that. Why? And I did all these things. And that's everyone's right. But it's like a very one-sided conversation, which you thought you were already having. They're in your space.
How does that work in terms of things like Michelin, Angela? Mm. Because, I mean, I came to Murano for the first time.
Yeah.
Last year. And it was impeccable. I mean, it was amazing. The food was beautiful. The service was lovely. We had that gorgeous little room that you've got. And it was just like... And I was really hungover. I was like, oh, my God. And I got outside and I came to Murano. And it was like... Mm. I was so happy. Like, because it was all velvety and nice and kind. And the food was so soothing. Mm. But keeping it at that level... there's a pressure to that,
right? Of course, and it's all about keeping a great team and making sure they're trained up and all the rest of it. But listen, we've had bad days, without doubt. We've had bad inspections, and to be fair to them, they sort of, I knew they'd had a really bad inspection, you know, because they stopped and spoke to the chef at the time. It's not George, right? Michelin, yeah. Oh. And then I emailed them the next day and sort of said, listen, can we have a chat about this, you know?
Sorry, for someone who doesn't know, the Michelin process, how does it go? The restaurant, I mean, let's talk about what Michelin is.
Okay.
So chefy.
Sorry.
Roll back down. I mean, of course, we all know what a Michelin star is, but I'm like, this is an opportunity. Please tell me the actual...
So an inspector will come in, they'll never announce themselves, it's absolutely blind. You may, because I've been around the block for a while, I know a few of them, so I've met them over the years, but other than that, they're absolutely anonymous, so you wouldn't know. The only reason we knew this time was because he then announced himself, and occasionally they will, occasionally they won't, and then he fed back to the chef and said this, so... At the time, you know, he called me up. Yeah, Oscar sort of, and I said, all right, you know, so we deal with it. And I emailed and I said, bye. And they said, and then the next time an inspector came back by chance, I'm not there every night by any stretch of the imagination. I happened to be there and I recognised this inspector. So we sat down and we had a chat and he goes, you know, it wasn't a great day that day. He goes, but we're human and you guys are human, you know, and I felt fair play. And he goes, we know most, you know, pretty much 99% of the time it's all good. But obviously it was a blip that day. So give them credit where credit's due.
So there's a humanity to it. And a on paper, it feels like this rigid, quite alarming.
And I think
structure.
It probably is to a certain degree and a lot of the time.
How important is having a Michelin star today?
I don't think it's relevant for being a successful restaurant, but I think it can be relevant for young cooks coming through who want to do that thing. They may then go off and do something else. Like, I always remember Trevor and Fergus saying they got a star at St. John and going, and they go, but we don't want to lose it.
Well, that's the thing. You know, it's like, once you've got it, then people become terrified of
losing
it.
St. John was the antidote to Michelin.
Yeah, I would have thought, you know.
I've got no interest in it whatsoever. Yeah. I don't want to...
poo-poo.
Yeah. No, I think...
Poo-poo anyone's ambition? If that's the direction I want to go in? I've got no interest.
Different markers help people... have goals and know what they want to reach for.
I also think that's now where the beauty of London sits. When I first started cooking, like 25 years ago, you could only go, and this is not that bad, you could only go to the Ivy. That was one of the great places in London. Or there were Michelin-starred restaurants, or there was Riva in Barnes. You know, I was working all the hours on a Sunday. Where'd I go? Into the Ivy or Riva? And now I look, and I think 25 years later, I go round the corner. I don't even have to go to the West End anymore.
Yeah.
You know, you always had to go to the West End to eat something. True. Now you've got your local Indian, your local Chinese, a local Italian. You've got everything. And that's the beauty of London. So you've got high-end, you know, three-star. But you've also got the best, you know, Chinese down the road, which can, is everything a two-star, everything in between. And that's why London now, I think, is up there with New York, if not better at certain things. Way better than, I think, as Paris, because you've got all the different cuisines.
Paris is like one note a lot of it. You know, there's like vegetarian people and I go to Paris, have the most awful time in the world. Like, they just go, no.
No. Pick the chicken out. You made me to you, right? When you were you went to France when you were vegan, what, how many years ago?
No,
showing your age.
No, I was vegan until I started at St John.
Yeah, you no chance.
Well, that'll knock it out of you, won't it?
You know, where there are like Farmer Tom would just carrying a carcass of an animal on their shoulder. But I approached it from a sense of once I had learned something about connecting with food, which St. John gave me, then I felt very differently about food. That was a personal choice.
Yeah, of course.
Mm. But I went to Paris when I was squatting in Islington, actually, with 10 other French people. And I was so, I told them I was a vegan and they just didn't comprehend at all.
No.
She just kept saying to me, you're ill. I was like, no, I'm a vegan. I don't eat milk.
Are you okay?
She said to me, it's okay. Her mum said, it's okay. I will make something especially for you. And she boiled a chicken with vegetables. And she said, this for you. Because you are a vegetarian. And I was like, it's a chicken.
And here's some pig trotters on the side.
These pieces of vegetables.
That's like that movie. And she goes, when she says,
oh, yeah, my big fat Greek wedding.
And she goes, it's okay.
You don't eat no meat. It's okay. I make love.
There is something about mothers. I remember my mum did that to my sister-in-law, who's vegetarian, and Neil's best friend. She goes, she gave them a minestrone with literal big pieces of ham. It's just soup. But it's meat, mum. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that?
Because they can't get their head around it. It's kind of sweet in a way.
So, wait, I didn't actually get the answer. How many restaurants do you have in London today, Angela?
Four
restaurants. Mm. What, as Angela Hartnett today, do you want to do still? What
retire.
Else? You wouldn't.
Are you kidding me? Of course I'd retire.
You would
not. I don't want to do necessarily, I would retire from doing the day-to-day.
Okay.
You know.
Yeah, see, qualify. There's no way.
But, I still like to do stuff in the industry. But yeah, the day-to-day, you know, real.
What,
know,
like everyone, kind of... Like,
doing services, you know, like, and all that business. Ruling the industry, power. Yeah. But that will take time, but we'll get there eventually.
Yeah.
COVID put a bit of a scupper in it, but, you know, all the rest of it.
It really did. I mean, I know things are still really hard for so many people, but I do feel like things are sort of on the turn for the better in the industry. What do you think?
Yeah, I think to a degree. I think Brexit is probably the bigger deal, isn't it?
With God.
With staff more than COVID.
Tories aren't doing anyone any favours, but let's not get into
that. Yeah, exactly.
Our industry was blindsided by COVID. Mm. We couldn't believe that you could go from... We had the best month we had ever had.
We just released the book.
I mean, I couldn't believe it. I was sitting there looking and thinking...
February 2020.
Hang on a second. Yeah. This year, we might make some money.
And that's just profit.
Like, properly make some money... Brushing my shoulders off, like, nailed it.
Well, we had loads of book stuff lined up as well.
Yeah, Lee had released his book before, so there's all these things happening. He was supposed to go to all this stuff, as that happened to everyone, and it blindsided us completely and cost so much money. But then when reopening, it's just a change of who wants to work, how they want to work. Yes. Our industry, rightly so, people who are working within it want to earn more money. Yeah. Good. But that's crippling if your everything else has gone up.
Mm.
The margin is much smaller than people realise.
Yeah.
But I suppose that's what people think. If a restaurant is doing well, that you are, then that's it. And you know, it's like a story that doesn't stop. It's like it's constantly evolving.
We're doing all right. We're nice and busy, but the margins are tight. You know, a couple of bad weeks or a few things, if anything goes wrong, it's obviously going to have an impact. But we're lucky we've got a very good team, small team. everyone's quite close. Everyone gets it.
Yeah.
And
team is everything in everything that you do, I think.
Yes,
absolutely.
I agree.
I mean, you can't do it on your own.
No.
You can't do it on your own. And it's, I think people sometimes, in whatever industry you're talking about, actually really undervalue how important it is to treat the people you work with well.
Network,
so that it makes, and it's not just lip service. It's like a family. It has
nurturing,
to be.
Exactly.
It's business, but it's like a family business. You know what I mean?
And I think it's so difficult when you talk about, we're here with the Christmas trees here and we're thinking about the festivities, and then you think about, for most people working in hospitality, this is going to be some of the most grueling times of the year. And they will have to deliver over and over again for people whose expectations have
risen.
They've risen. It's an event, it's a thing, you know. I'm here, it's whatever party it is or whatever occasion it is, it's just the occasion that I've saved up to go out for Christmas, and you've got to keep delivering. And I think there is an exhaustion that can happen, and then to keep that smiley happy, like Christmas,
what, 3 weeks of service pretending it's Christmas every day, basically.
Because some people, they are, you know, you want to go somewhere, you want to have a listen to Christmas tunes.
Of course,
I worked at Hard Rock Cafe, I can tell you.
Oh my god, when I was a teenager, that was like the fanciest place I could imagine.
And over again on a loop, the same Christmas sort song. Of 2 hour loop.
Like being on hold forever, isn't it?
Hard Rock Cafe, when I was a teenager, it was like everything. I saw the 3 degrees in there.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, oh my God, it's the 3 degrees. And one year, me and Nana did some video. I think it was for Big Audio Dynamite.
Brilliant.
And we were like jumping about in a pair of Batty Riders, whatever. And we got paid 50 quid each.
Yeah.
And we went to the cafe.
You were rich.
And I had like a burger and a cocktail. And we were like, wow.
We've arrived.
How do you know? Because we just keep going and we work a lot and very hard.
That's what I mean. You guys don't ask about me. You guys work incredibly hard.
But that's what just made me realise. Yeah. It's true. No matter what I do, I just would probably approach it in that way. And at the moment, it just is work. Yeah. But work fills up my soul and I love it more than anything, which I'm sure you guys feel the same.
Yeah.
But how do you know when you've done enough to say, I'm doing well? No, because like Anne just said, she can take a break. But just to say to yourself, I'm doing well. Fuck, look what I've done.
Yeah. I mean, I still don't know what I want to do when I grow up.
Right.
This is just ongoing for me.
How do you know? I think when you suddenly are able to reflect back and say that thing that you're like, oh, God, I can't believe I've got to do that.
Yes.
And then you go, hang on. 10 years ago, I'd be like, oh my God, we're going to get to do that.
Yes,
remembering to remind yourself that you are.
You would have dreamt of this shit.
And it's a choice.
It's a privilege to be in this space.
It's a choice. You don't have to do any of it. So me and Mickey have this conversation all the time with each other, actually. Like, Mickey will be like, I'm so tired, I'm going to get up. I'm like, because you want to, you don't have to do it.
Yeah. I hate when you
say
that.
She hates it when I say that. It really annoys her.
It's like, well, you don't have to. It's like, well, obviously, I'm going to.
But it's important because the language you use on yourself or the language you use with each other, you know, little words make the difference. It's like, I've got to do this thing, or I want to do this thing, or I choose to do
and
this
we're
thing.
Doing
makes
this.
You feel
but do
different
you also
in
have
your gut.
To have a toolbox that is there that you've created, that the thing that works for you to get through whatever it might be. So, you know, we've got a Peloton. Anyone else get a Peloton?
The cult of Peloton.
Yeah. I love
awful
it.
I've got one, Andy.
Oh my God,
it's sat there.
Get it?
Can you tell I don't get one? It's just sat there for like since you told me to get one.
Neil,
I shut the
£3,000 clothing.
I did not tell you to get. Did I tell you to get one?
No. Well, it's just holds stuff up. So when I went to Kate and Lee's one time for a party stuff, I said, "Okay, it's all very lovely and neat and tidy. Amazing with 3 kids.
There's a door literally bulging.
And then they came over to us, and we don't have a TV downstairs. And like the kids went upstairs, and obviously we're opening doors, and they came running down and said, Mum, Angela's got a room just like yours.
Oh, shit.
We got
that
outed.
Is now the Peloton room. Can't see it for crap that's hiding it. Oh,
but there's a Peloton in there somewhere in the back.
Did I talk you into it?
You were telling me you were convincing me because you can sell Colston in that. And I'm like, I'm going to go. And I hid it from Neil for about 2 months. Because luckily Neil never tidies. Because he's just in a room he never goes in.
Oh, God.
Because Neil gets on an actual bike.
Well, no. Because Neil hates him. He thinks it's all wrong. He should be on a bike and on a cycling.
Of course he would. He'd be like,
oh, I'm sending it back because it's never gone back. And now he's actually
never get it back in the box.
Maybe you should maybe use it.
Use it.
I'll do it now. My New Year's resolution.
Maybe 10 minutes.
Yeah.
A day.
It does wonders for my mental health.
Yeah, yeah. Seriously.
It's really great.
Yeah. Yeah.
And,
seriously,
I would openly encourage any chef out there to try and do at least
exercise. No,
half an hour every 3 days a week.
It's better than the alternatives that chefs are used to doing. I will only cycle outside if it's the summer.
Oh, no, fair, I like cycling.
I'm not riding. Oh, yeah, but you will get in the ice cold sea. You're she's a cold swimmer.
Like Kate.
Angela. I love it.
I'd like to start. Oh. She's not into it, but I
come,
think
let's do it.
It.
Let's go.
Me and you, Annie.
I'm not
being
funny.
Yeah.
I'll do it.
She'll do
it because she's all Scottish.
Yes, because I'm
Scottish. Yeah, there you go.
And I was conceived on Hampstead Heath.
All right, tell everybody.
So I think I should go swimming.
Right.
You should definitely.
I have told people in interviews. It's fine.
That's fine.
I was like, what?
I
talked about it in an interview. There's a very nice
information.
Well, like I said, there's a very nice pub near there.
Is it called the Southampton Arms?
No, it's the Flask.
Oh, is that where you went after I was conceived?
No, before. Oh, before.
That's why.
That's why. Yeah, exactly. This is delicious.
Did you enjoy
it?
Absolutely fantastic
food.
So yummy.
These are particularly.
The beans.
Okay, beans.
So that's called stew peas. That's like a really old school. And then if you had more vegetables in it, it was a bit looser. And you had in what they call spinners, which are like little dumplings. Drop them in. Then it's red pea soup.
Okay.
But in this form, it's stew peas.
Which beans? Nice. So which
black beans? This is a black bean one, but you can do it with black eyed peas, red peas, pigeon peas. You know, pigeon peas are like, I think in America they call them field peas, and we also call them gunga peas. So they're nice, like little nutty brown or green little peas. I mean, I just absolutely love that kind of concoction from all over the world. I mean, it's interesting to me. Like, you know, if you look at Italian food, you do things like that with beans and peas, but slightly different spicing, obviously, or whatever. And then you use cornmeal.
Yeah.
Like, I call it poor people food. It's like all over the world.
Yeah.
It's like using the same things, like, you know, a potato, some meal of some kind, a bean, you know, the tail of the pig, because you can't afford the rest of the pig. Well, no one's going to let you have the rest of the pig. But there's a connection, isn't there?
Yeah, like, of course,
right,
there
throughout
is.
The world. And I love that I can see that in your food.
No, but there's also that braise and slow, I think, and using everything.
Using everything.
You know, the Caribbean food and stuff, it's a lot of, and reading through your book, it's a lot of not wasting anything.
Yes.
And not about using the most expensive cuts and making them fancy. It's about, use, like you say, a lot, in a way, lots of vegetarian stuff.
Yeah,
I think people
look
at Italian food and think it's all meat, but actually there's loads of veg because, you know, not everyone's got the money to have
and the meat.
Bits
are there for the flavour, but not for the substance of the pot, because nobody could afford to. You didn't eat meat every day. You ate meat like once a week or something, if you were really, really lucky.
So in Italy and Spain, there's still a tradition for offal as well.
You're eating big time,
tripe, and it's not such a weird thing. In the UK, we've kind of lost that way.
Connection.
I remember when I first started cooking at St John, and I told my Irish uncle, and he's like, I spent my life in it. I don't want to ever have to eat that stuff again.
Yeah.
I want chops.
Yeah.
I want fillet of beef. I want all of that, because I spent my life eating it.
Well, you go down to Sicily and everyone thinks street food, and they're thinking, a lovely little panini with a bit of prosciutto. It's intestines. It's fried tongue and all that sort of thing. But I think, like,
that's normal.
Yeah, it's normal. Yeah. It's not a big thing. And that region, and that's what they do. Yeah, of course they wouldn't waste anything. Yeah, that's what it's about, I think.
But it's not the same in the UK.
No, we just look,
Ireland.
Yeah, because after the war, we all suddenly became, that's what we want, is all that sort of
aspirational.
Yeah, and actually I think we lost our food culture there. I think we've got it back now.
Yeah, wasn't St John kind of that beginning of that moment of sort of celebrating British food again? Because, I mean, I'm just so into that kind of menu.
Yeah.
Well, it's interwoven into sort of French provincial cooking as well. Mm. Like just an artichoke with some vinaigrette.
Yeah.
Like, really know, clear,
you,
simple
you pick
yeah.
it up
things.
And you pop it in and you boom. Yeah. It's like, as you say, ceremony. It's, there's ceremony and there's... The simple things.
Yeah,
and just
but I do think what's interesting to me is that the way I would like our industry to open up
is that there's this vocabulary of absolutism. Like, this is the way you do it, and that's it. It's like, no, this is the way you do it there.
Yeah.
If you go to Asia, they do it differently. It's not less than, it's something else.
Yeah.
So it's like the idea of excellence and the idea of pursuit of excellence and exploration of excellence kind of goes through one lens, and that's it. And then there's like, what about the rest of the world?
Was that the French...
sort of old dead French blokes, you know, lens.
Old dead French book lens.
There's one way the only way.
Do you know, that's one way to be brilliant. But you know, if you go to like, you know, I go to Antigua and I sit with somebody's grandma and they make me some amazing thing. Like, oh my God, I'd never even heard of Vinnie Dalish until a couple of years ago. My mum was going, I really want Vinnie Dalish. I was like, what the hell is Vinnie Dalish? And I looked into it. And, you know, it was absolutely fascinating because it's Portuguese.
Yeah, of course.
So it's the same as Vindaloo, Vinha da Luz, Vinidalos. Okay. It's the same dish in different parts of the world. Okay. And it travels because of for all sorts of reasons, some of them good, some of them hellish.
Yeah, but of course.
What happens in the end is you end up with this amalgamation of things. And it fascinates me. And I think it's completely brilliant. And it seems crazy to me that we only look at food through one window.
Yeah.
When there's a massive house with hundreds of windows to look at it through.
Well, that's another thing that we try and do at the restaurant is I like the fact that we're uncategorizable. You can't...
Yeah.
Oh, we're not Italian, we're not English,
we're not
French. I was
going to say, how did you even start with that menu? Like, it's beautiful, but I did... What part of...
It takes a lot out of you, actually. But it's also... It's food I want to eat.
Well, I loved your food.
What did I say to you about the chicken? Yes.
Do you remember?
Would you say it's the best chicken a white boy had ever
cooked? Best white boy chicken I've ever had.
White boy can cook rice.
Best white boy chicken.
I took credit for that.
That was some good chicken.
That was.
Thank
I'm
you
very
picky
much.
About
you got to try it if you've got time before. They get back on the deep fried apple pie.
We're doing deep fried mince pies.
Deep fried mince pies are to die for.
I can't even imagine.
I've got a little fryer at home. I can come round and do you a couple.
I've got a fryer here. Bring the shit. You don't even need to bring the fryer. Just come round, you know the door now.
Love it.
And that's what I love about you as well, Andrew. It's just about making delicious things that make you happy, which then it means that other people are happy, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's the best starting and ending point. And I actually bought mince pies. I have made
them. Yes, they're not deep fried.
And no one else has ever had a pudding.
No!
What have we got pudding?
Yeah, we've got mince pies and I've got really posh creme fraiche.
And the mince pies from the posh place in Marylebone High Street?
They're from rich people shopping on Marylebone High Street. Because I was there yesterday, I was like, shall I get the mince pies? Yes.
Happy Christmas!
Happy Christmas!
Cheers!
Yay!
Merry Christmas, one and all.
Mince pies and everything.
Lovely, thank you.
God bless us, everyone.
God bless us, everyone.
Feeling Christmassy now.
It felt like a proper first Christmas gathering, you know?
It really did. You know, whenever I see Angela, there's something about Angela that always feels a bit celebratory.
Yeah.
She fascinates me, you know, because I love how she's like the most low-key business mogul in the world.
That's why I was trying to, why I really wanted to talk to her about like how she sees herself today.
Yeah.
It's quite hard to ask her that question.
Because she doesn't see herself through that kind of lens. And when you said to her, how many restaurants have you got? And she said, 4. It's like, that's a lot of restaurants to have. And also a lot of restaurants to be so successful and to do so well. And also at this level. And there are not many women in our industry at that level. And Angela, literally every single person in our industry loves Angela.
Yeah.
Because she's just got the biggest heart. And the reason she's so successful is because of that heart and soul.
But that's what I'm learning more and more, the more people that come around this table. I think the true success of one's life is one's character.
Yes.
And Angela just puts all of who she is in everything she does. And you feel it in her restaurants. You feel it in her, her lovely face. I just like her face a lot. And she makes me feel really safe, which is why I think I love eating her food.
You know what? You were like, are you nervous to give them food? I didn't think I was. And then when I put it down, I thought, I am a little bit nervous, actually. I am a little bit nervous. But I also felt quite proud to share really old Antiguan heritage food recipes with them because I knew it was food that they wouldn't have had before, and it just felt like a really beautiful thing to share with these people that, I mean, I love Angela. I don't know Lee and Kate very well.
We've only met them a couple of times.
I adore them. They are fantastic. very interesting, like, talking to Angela about Michelin, talking to Lee about how they put together teams for their restaurant, talking to Kate about that role that she has. I just felt like it was a real insight and lovely for me to talk to other people in the industry about all of these different aspects that are hugely important in quite a gentle way, because actually people are so competitive and it can be such a kind of blokey, macho, and he's so far from that. And, you know, obviously Angela and Kate are not like that at all. So it was quite a lovely reminder at what makes me do the things that I do and what makes the food industry something that I love. I love sharing food with people, and being here with them really reminded me about why I do the things that I do.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.